Galatians chapter 6, and we will be reading verses 7 to 10. Paul writes, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." Well, I have discovered that people read the Bible differently from the way they read any other book. Ordinarily, when you read a book, you start in the beginning and you go through it and you finish it, and you understand the things that are said based upon the context of the book. Most people know random Bible verses, and they pull them out and use them whenever they fit. I remember having a conversation once with a gentleman. I said something theological which he did not agree with, and he said to me, "Well, what about the verse that says this?" And I said to him, I said, where is that verse? And he said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Okay, I know. It's this book and that chapter." I said, "What's the context of that passage?" He said, "Well, I don't know." I said, "Ah, well, why don't we go look at it?" And we went through the text and saw that what the pastor was talking about was not what he thought it was talking about. Now, the reason I say that is because these four verses that we have for today, which talk about you reap what you sow and do good to all and so forth, if you just take them on their own, you may come to certain conclusions such as, oh, salvation through works, you reap what you sow and do good. Or someone may come to conclusions like weird ideas like karma, that, oh, you know, you do good and good stuff will happen to you, you do bad, bad stuff will happen to you. That's not what Paul is talking about. And so I want to give you really quick, since we're almost done with Galatians, a quick reminder of what the book of Galatians is about, so we see how this fits in to the entire structure of the book. As you know, Paul had started these churches in Galatia, and after he left, certain false teachers came in, legalists who were saying that you needed to do certain works in order to be saved. Specifically, they were pushing for circumcision. They were saying, if you want to get saved, you need to do these things, otherwise you cannot. And so Paul wrote this letter. And this letter has two sections. You can split it up into two sections. The first section is mostly theological. Well, it's all theological, of course, but he specifically addresses this false gospel, and he says, no, you're justified through faith alone in Christ, not by the works that you do. And remember, he started the first section by saying, if anyone preaches a different gospel, let him be anathema. And he ended that section in the beginning of chapter 5 by closing it up and saying, I'm letting you know one more time that if anyone tries to get you to get circumcised, or if you get circumcised or do some law in order to be saved, Christ will profit you nothing. And he ends that. And now he starts, and then he started the second section. The second section is because what happens is Paul anticipates that once he has said that you are saved through faith and not by your works, people will then say, oh, well, if I'm not saved by my works, I'll just sit back and do nothing. I'll just sit back and watch TV until I die because I don't need to do anything. Or even worse than that, some people may say, well, since I'm not saved by my works, I could just go ahead and sin, and God will just forgive me because that's who God is. Just like he mentioned in Romans 6, there were some people who were saying, oh, let's just sin that grace may abound. The more we sin, the more gracious God can be, and there you go. And so Paul, the second section of Galatians, is Paul explaining that even though we are saved by the grace of God through faith alone, that does not mean that we are to live lawless lives. those who trust in Christ are filled with His Spirit. And the Spirit is not going to lead you into sin. The Holy Spirit, He's called the Holy Spirit because He indwells you and makes you holy. Okay? So, woe to the person who thinks that he can just say, well, you know, I believed once, or I got baptized, or I'm good, and so I can just live my life any way I want. I can live in sin, I can just live like the devil, and it's all good because in the end, it'll all work out fine. No, it will not. When God saves you, He changes you. And so, this second section of Galatians started by saying, you're not under the law, but don't use your liberty to sin. And so he closes it now. This is the end of that section before he reaches his conclusion of the entire book. He closes that section by saying, verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. There are many who think, oh, I'm saved by grace, so I can just sin, I won't get punished. And Paul says, no, that's not how it is. And Paul reminds us of a law, if you want to call it a law of nature, the law of God that he has established, which is true in agriculture, and it's also true in spiritual matters. And he says, you will reap what you sow. That's what's going to happen. I think it's in Genesis 1, when God created everything. He created plants, and He said, the fruit tree will yield according to its kind. You know, if you plant an orange tree, it's not going to give you apples. If you plant an apple tree, it's not going to give you onions. Everyone knows this, it's not a problem. Whatever you plant, that's what's going to come up. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. That's how it is. And it's true in the spiritual realm also. If you sow to the flesh, he says you will reap corruption, destruction. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life. This is what Paul has been talking about in this entire section, where he's been saying, be led by the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. He is saying, if you live your life to just please the flesh, in the end, you will reap corruption. But if you live for God and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, you will have eternal life. Now, again, this is not changing what Paul has already established before, that we are justified through faith alone, by the grace of God alone. But Paul understands that a Christian is to live a holy life. What is in James chapter 1? In James chapter 1, if you remember, James said, don't be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. You can't just say you believe and then live like the devil. I remember, I was, do you all know the TV show called Survivor? Some of you do. The Americans do. It's this show where you get a bunch of people and they drop them on some desert island or something. And every week they vote each other off. And, you know, whoever is left in the end wins the game. And I remember I was watching one season of Survivor, and there was this one lady who said she was a Christian. Okay? I have no reason to doubt. You say you're a Christian, you're a Christian. And she made it to the final three. And it was her and two other ladies. It was three women that were left. And she had a deal with the one lady, to the two of them, to vote out the other one. And that's fine. That's how the game is played. And they shook on it. They promised, okay, we're together. It's all good. Then right at the end, this Christian lady figures out that it would be more advantageous for her to go with the other one. And so she secretly goes to the other one. She says, I was supposed to vote you off, but let's get together and vote off the other one. And so they do that. And the other one is shocked. She wasn't expecting that. And afterwards, they're talking to this Christian girl. And she says, I know I lied to the person. I know I broke my promise. I know I promised her that I would be with her and vote with her, but I didn't do that. But, you know, I'm a Christian, so it's okay. God will forgive me. And I said, oh, so that's how it works. So if I want to sin, I just go ahead and sin, and God will forgive me. Is that how it works? Because that's how she thought it works. Paul says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. If you think that you can just sit away and, oh, it'll be fine. Paul says, don't be deceived. See, the thing is, here's what happens. Whenever you sow a seed, the crop, the fruit, whatever it is, it doesn't come up right away. It takes time. And so people are deceived because they think, because right now, we're in the time of sowing. The reaping will come at the end, and we will see, some will see corruption, and some will see eternal life. But we sow now, and we think, we deceive ourselves in thinking, it'll be okay. We think we can sin away, and even if I sin and sow evil seed, oh, I won't reap that. It'll be okay. And Paul says, no. You're deceiving yourself because God is not fooled. God knows exactly what's going on in your heart. I had this friend, co-worker. His name was Yanni. Really nice guy. Quiet, polite. And at this place where I worked, I would tell everyone about Christ. I would tell people about the gospel. And he heard me, and we started talking about it. And he said to me, right now in my life, I don't feel like having a relationship with God, but maybe in the future I will. And I said to him, oh. I said, but what if when you feel like having a relationship to God, God doesn't feel like having a relationship with you? And I know you're going to say, Nicole, how could you dare say such a thing? If Jesus said, anyone who comes to me, I will not drive away. I know. Of course, anyone who comes to him in faith and repentance, Jesus will not cast away. But thinking that, oh, I'm just going to live like the devil for the next 50 years, and when I reach 80 years old, I'll just switch on the faith, you know, I'll go to church, I'll light a few candles, and I'll be okay before God. Because a lot of people do that. There's a reason why, if you go to the Greek Orthodox Church right behind you, it's full of old people. Why? Well, we're getting towards the end of our lives now. And so, let's get religious. And Paul says, no, God knows your heart. You can't mock him. You can't just think that I can do whatever and it'll be okay in the end. He says, no. If you think you can live that way, you're mistaken. Now, this law of reaping and sowing, which is both physical and spiritual, there are people who may bring some objections to it and say, it's not an absolute law. I know of exceptions. One objection, maybe, people who say, look how bad things happen to good people. Or look how good things happen to bad people. I know bad people who have money and fame and live long lives and die at 100 years old, perfectly healthy. And I know good people who suffer, lose their jobs, get sick and die. So this here, this reaping and sowing, this is not right. Well, what we need to understand here, that Paul is not merely talking about this life. Now, while it is true that you may reap good things now, and you may reap evil things now, based upon what you do, that is not what we're talking about here. He is talking about corruption and eternal life. He's thinking heaven and hell, when everything will be made right. And I want to show you a passage. Please, We'll come right back, but please turn to Psalm 73. This is a psalm of Asaph. And I think it helps us understand this concept of reaping and sowing. If you look at verse 2, he says, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." He says, this isn't right. Because I see the wicked who are doing great. This is something's... God, what's going on here, God? Verse 4, "For there are no pangs in their death." These are the evil people. "But their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens." So they're mocking God. "And their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, 'How does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High?'" People are thinking, does God know about this? "Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. The increase in riches. Surely," he says, this is the psalmist saying, "surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, 'I will speak thus,' behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me." Now notice verse 17. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakens, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image." He says, I saw good things happening to bad people. And this whole thing of reaping and sowing is not true. Not true. But then I realized their end. It doesn't end here. They're going to stand before God. And you reap what you sow. God is not mocked. Second objection that people may have to the law of reaping and sowing. You can go back to Galatians, by the way. Second objection that someone may have and say, no, I know people who do not reap what they sow. And let me give you the exception. The gospel. Christians. Other religions, I get it. Other religions say if you're good, you get good stuff. If you're bad, you get bad stuff. But in Christianity says everyone is bad. Yet, not everyone goes to hell. Some people are saved. So, what's going on here? I mean, think about it. You, who are here right now, have you ever sowed an evil seed? Ever? Or, no, you're just... Perfect. No. And so the question is, well, why? How is it? Is it true that you will, that the seed that you sowed, the evil, wicked seed that you sowed, will not be reaped? Answer is, it already was reaped on the cross by Jesus in your place. Everything that we sow is going to get reaped. But Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. God did not overlook our sins. He does not ignore our sins. He knows very well that we are sinners. But he punished a substitute in our place. And Jesus reaps what we sowed. So no, this concept of reaping and sowing is absolute. But it doesn't always happen the way that we think it should or in our time. So Paul is getting ready to close his epistle, and he has been saying for these past few verses to not sin, don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Rather, in verse 9, he says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." If you ask any farmer, sowing is hard work. And it's the same spiritually. Human beings are weak. Human beings are sinful. Human beings are tempted to sin. And Paul says, don't grow weary of doing good. Because he understands that it can get tiring. There are people around us always have needs, which we're never going to be able to fulfill everyone's needs. And it can get overwhelming. Just looking at what we had last week, you have people who, sinners that you need to restore, burdens that we need to bear, ministries that we need to support. This is a lot of work. Especially when you're dealing with other sinners, especially when you're dealing with people who are ungrateful. I remember we were having a discussion with Maria a couple of weeks ago because she takes the bus all the time, and we were talking about how we stand up. So a young person or someone who is fit will stand up when an old person comes in. And I remember one time I was sitting in the train and an old person came in and I immediately jumped up and gave him my seat. And he didn't thank me. He sat down with this attitude of, that's right. And in my mind, it's like, oh, well, I'm not doing that again. Of course, then I have to think more clearly and more like a Christian and say, well, I'm not doing it for him, I'm doing it for the Lord. But it can be hard work and exhausting and tiring doing good in an evil world. Especially with people who are ungrateful, or it can be discouraging when you work and work and work and work and you don't immediately see results. And Paul understands that, and that's why he urges us here to keep on doing good. Keep on going. Because, he says, in due season we shall reap. It may not be when you want to, but in his time, God will, at the right time, in due season, God will do what's right. And verse 10 starts with the word, therefore. Now, that therefore is huge, because whenever you just read therefore, calls back to what we've just seen. And this is not just a therefore to these four verses. This is not just a therefore to this chapter. This is a therefore to this entire section that began chapter 5. This is the conclusion, okay? Since we are justified by faith, as he has been talking about for 4.5 chapters, since we are not to live for the flesh, but we are to live for God, he concludes by saying this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. A Christian is to do good to all people. You can say to me, what does that mean? Do good. Where should I start? What should I do? Well, we could start lists and they would go on forever. You can go to Matthew 25 if you want. You don't have to turn there. But where Jesus talks about feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the poor, visiting the sick, visiting those who are in prison, taking in the stranger. He gives you, you could go on forever. And we can get more into more spiritual matters. You can pray for people. You can give people the gospel. There's no greater good than that. If you want to do good to people, give them the good news about Christ. Okay? We could go on forever. If you want to, Acts chapter 10 says that Jesus went about doing good. If you want to know how to do good, study the Gospels and follow Jesus' life, and then you'll know how to do good. And Paul says, do good. Do good to everyone, but especially to the household of faith. While we have a responsibility to everyone, we have an even greater responsibility to other believers. I mean, if we have been adopted by God the Father, if we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, that means that we're family. And if you don't take care of your family, who are you going to take care of? And so Paul says, do it, be good to everyone, but especially to the household of faith. Jesus said, in John 13, this is how people will know that they're my disciples, when you love one another. So, finally, one last thing in that verse. Paul says, as we have opportunity, do good to everyone. That doesn't mean do good every now and then. That's not what he's talking about. A better translation is, as we have time, do good. Remember Jesus saying, we got to work while it is daytime, because nighttime is going to come and we won't be able to work. So work while you can. That's the idea here. He says, as you have time, because we're not going to be here forever. This is the time of sowing. One day it's going to be the day of reaping, but for now, sow the good seed. Do good to everyone. And so Paul ends this entire section of Galatians by saying those people, this entire section is about those who trust in Christ. They have the Spirit of God, and therefore they should live accordingly, like Christ. And yes, it's important to know what the gospel is. It's important to understand justification by faith alone. That's why he spent 4.5 chapters on it. But knowing that, we should therefore now live and walk in the Spirit and live for God and go around like Jesus, doing good. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.